The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
I hope. Is this thing on? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, so I screwed everything up. I did. Figures, best laid plans and all that. I think I told you yesterday I tried to tweak my studio a little bit, and what I wound up doing is totally screwing it up. And I thought I had things working this morning, and literally 7 minutes to three, I said, oh, let me just test the phones, and nothing. I had no audio going into my main computer. I could play it, but it wasn't feeding the audio stream or YouTube, so it would have been a very quiet show. So I think things are working now. Just call me MacGyver and hope, knocking on wood laminate here, that it all works okay for the duration. Anyway, I know what I'm doing this weekend. Now that I've got all this time on my hands, I've got too many things that I need to do. I don't know about you. I'm not liking this staying at home stuff. Not that I went out and did much anyway. It's just, I'm not appreciating this. I really right now could use a good engineer, computer expert / audio engineer, but we're all quarantining at home, so that's not happening. It is Thursday. Howie Klein will be along. Lots to talk with Howie about. Even though the news is basically all the same thing, it is what it is. It's the coronavirus. It is the ineptitude and malfeasance of this government, of this administration. Try as they might to tell us they did nothing wrong, they did everything wrong. We are the laughingstock of the planet. And probably you can't hear a word I'm saying. Okay, so Terry can't hear a word I'm saying. Can anybody else hear me? Because when one person tells me in the chat room, you know, I get concerned. Other people, can you guys hear me? Anyone? Bueller? All right, I need to know, can you guys hear me? Let me go into the other chat. Can the audio streamers hear me? No, I'm using the right mouse. Sound is fine there. Okay, so it's only one person who said I can't hear a word you're saying. If you can't hear what I'm saying, well, then you can't hear me telling you to reboot. But it's only one person, so sound is fine. Good. Okay, because don't freak me out. Yes, you can hear me.
TuneIn radio app,
yeah.
But not on the other app on my phone, the Progressive.
Well, I'm not on Progressive Voices yet. Get out.
It's the one I usually use.
You know, you don't hear me live on Progressive Voices at 3 o'clock. I'm not on Progressive. Okay, go. All right. So, yeah, it's one of those days. And all right, you can hear me in Canada, True Tech. Awesomeness. All right. You know what? We need to clean the palate. And as usual, I've been scouring. What I'm doing to take my mind off the news is scouring the internets for funny videos. People are using their spare time by getting creative and producing wonderful comedy. So this one really lends itself to video. So if you're watching on YouTube, awesomeness. If you're not, I invite you to, after the show, visit NicoleSandler.com/4-2-20. The sound is getting all the way to Costa Rica, too. Gene, I'm jealous. And watch the video. I will embed it there. But I'm guessing most of us have seen Beauty and the Beast as the mother of a then little girl when the movie was, I think, when it came out. Or maybe she was just young when I, you know, watched it with her. This is very familiar. So somebody took the actual animation footage and re-recorded the audio track for a song about Belle. And it's just oh so good. So we'll start with that. Oh, even though I should have played the Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, I'll do that one too because, you know, all bets are off today. So take it away, Beauty and the Beast. And we see Belle walking up the hill with her basket.
Little town, everyone's in lockdown. All alone, they remain at home. Little town, full of little people, waking up to say.
Oh no.
Bernie and has got corona, so why the heck is he outside? Walks around as though he's well.
I got corona.
With a sanitizer gel, he's gonna get us all infected.
Good morning, Belle.
Good morning, Joe.
Why aren't you quarantined?
I'm not sick. I'm just on my way to Costco to buy some toilet paper before we're out.
That's nice. Sandy, the Purell, hurry up.
I've yet to see a reckless fool quite like her. Without a mask or gloves, she goes. In a grand princess she's been.
And she thinks no one had seen.
She's gonna get us all infected, that is bad.
Stay home
with you.
At least 6 feet.
They closed our schools.
It's now a ghost town.
The stock so now just fell 800 points.
Uh-oh.
You again.
Good morning, Albert. I'm done reading the book.
Did you wash your hands?
I don't remember. Is there anything new?
Ha! I'm serious. Wash your hands.
No worries. Okay, I'll take this one.
Another Stephen King? Are you sure?
I'm not feeling well. I've got a fever, terrible cough. I think I've got corona.
Fine. Take the book. Just don't come near me.
But, sir!
Don't touch me!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there she goes with runny nose and fever. She never covered when she sneezed.
She forgets to wash her hands. Though she claims to comprehend.
It's just another flu, you see. True, now the death rate's higher, but we can't control when we will die, so let it be.
Corona isn't just another virus, and yet she doesn't seem to care.
She does look kind of pale, and her breathing seems to fail. Very different from the rest of us.
She's nothing like the rest of us.
She's gonna be the end of us.
How awesome, right? How awesome was that? Somebody with way too much time on their hands took the actual footage from Beauty and the Beast, and actually I see a warning that it's could be copyright violated, because they don't realize that somebody dubbed in the audio track and did a whole new production of the song about Belle to go with the coronavirus. All right, we're going to do one more, because yesterday I started playing this Bohemian Rhapsody parody, and my audio went out. Probably my fault. Anyway, I found a better version. It's dealing from the same lyrics. Check this out. Somebody wrote the lyrics. A few people actually used those lyrics to record their own song, as did this guy. This guy, who happens to be from Mexico. We're truly international here. His name is Raul Irabian. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but I had to share this one with you because it is so, so good. So take it away on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all that. Invoca underscore music. Here we go.
Is this a sore throat? Is this just allergies? Caught in a lockdown. No escape from reality. Don't touch your eyes. Just hand sanitize quickly. I'm not stuck nearby. No job security. Because of easy breath, even though wash your hands, laying low. I look out the window. The cure doesn't to stay inside my bed. I walk by him, now he's dead. Mama, life was so much fun, but now I've got this unforgiven grief. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make them die. If I'm not
is great, and I'm posting the video on my blog at NicoleSandler.com with the podcast of today's show. I'm just talking up the instrumental to get to the post, because, you know, it's radio and all that. Here we go. This guy's Mexican, by the way. Here we go.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
What a douche, what a douche. Did he ever wash his hands? Though?
Security is tightening, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo,
Mr. Bay. Don't go to war.
I'm just a poor boy facing mortality.
He's just a poor boy facing mortality. Spending his life on this world, does he pay?
Wash your face, wash your hands, will you wash your hands?
Bismillah,
no, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Never, never, never.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, wash your hands. COVID-19 has a sickness put aside for me, for me, for me.
So you think you can stop me in the shape I have? So you think we can hang out and go break a plan?
At the end. Oh, Invocum music. The guy, his name is, well, I want to get it right for you, Raul Irabian, who hit those notes. He did all the harmonies. It was, you got to see the video. I will if you weren't watching on YouTube. That was pretty damn awesome. The lyrics were written by someone named Dana J. Behan, and other people have recorded Dana J. Behan's version of a Corona Rhapsody. In fact, the one I tried to play for yesterday was one of those. But this guy, Raul Irabian of Mexico, added amazing video elements. It was really, really good. So as I've done since I started featuring these fun comedy bits, is I post the videos on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, followed by the date. So today's would be NicoleSandler.com/4-2-20. And it'll be posted by, 4:35 this afternoon, once I get, the live show done and the show posted for Progressive Voices. So, look, this is what I'm doing to sort of keep my sanity. There's only so much news I can watch because it's all so fucking depressing. But there is news to bring you to. And when I crashed everything, I lost the latest two stories. But we'll do a little bit of news. We'll do it live, damn it.
I read the news today, oh boy.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Do it live.
Yeah.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay. Well, the two...
Fucking thing sucks.
All right. God damn. The two breaking news stories that I lost when I rebooted the computer because I screwed up the audio. I'm trying to remember what those stories were. One was, about Nancy Pelosi. Let me see if I can't find that in my email here. One is the DNC has postponed the convention until August 17th. It was supposed to be July 13th in Milwaukee. It will now allegedly happen August 17th in Milwaukee, a week before the scheduled Republican convention. So that's happening. The other one is Nancy Pelosi announced the formation of a bipartisan House committee to oversee the Trump administration's distribution of more than $2 trillion in coronavirus relief funds over the next few months. The committee will be led by Jim Clyburn of South Carolina. And of course, she's already getting grief about it from the Republicans. So stay tuned. Now on to the grim statistics. The U.S. coronavirus national death toll jumped by more than 1,000 in a single day for the first time yesterday, rising to over 5,000 dead overall in the U.S. alone. Authorities in New York rushed to bring in medical volunteers to reinforce overwhelmed nurses and doctors as the statewide death toll doubled in 3 days, reaching 1,900. More than 1,300 have died in New York City alone. Things are getting crazy. And other new numbers are in as well. A record 6.6 million Americans applied for unemployment last week. That's on top of the already the 3.3 million who reported the previous week. That's 10 million people in the last 2 weeks already filed for unemployment benefits, as many more newly unemployed people haven't even been able to get through to overwhelmed state unemployment offices because websites and phone lines have been swamped. This is the new normal, people, and it's ugly. Here in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis signed a stay-at-home order, finally, for the state's 21 million residents after facing weeks of criticism for holding off on drastic statewide measures to slow the spread of the virus. DeSantis previously had ordered residents of Broward, where I live, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach and Monroe counties to stay at home, but then finally made the policy statewide after a phone call with Donald, who warned Tuesday that up to 240,000 Americans could die from this virus. It's insane. Oh, by the way, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, whose state has around 5,000 cases, also announced a stay-at-home order. And the mega churches were exempted. One of the, essential services that is allowed to stay open are churches. Are you fucking kidding me? Come, because God will save you. What about the preacher who said it's all a hoax, who died? Just wondering. By the way, Georgia's Governor Kemp when he announced the statewide lockdown, showed what a total fucking idiot he is. Here's what he said.
You know, I think it's the reason I'm taking this action. It's like I've continued to tell people, I'm following the data. I'm following the advice of Dr. Toomey. Her and I both mentioned in our remarks, you know, finding out that this virus is now transmitting before people see signs. So
what
we've been telling people from directives from the CDC for weeks now, that if you start feeling bad, stay home. Those individuals could have been infecting people before they ever felt bad.
No shit, Sherlock.
We didn't know that.
You didn't know
that? Until the last 24 hours.
He didn't know that until the last 24 hours? Well, then obviously, Georgia Governor Kemp hasn't been listening to the Nicole Sandler show. I knew it. And if I knew it, there's no excuse for the governor of one of our states not to know. How do you not know that you're contagious even before you show symptoms? What a fucking maroon. There are no words. The Trump administration continues its practice of blaming everyone other than themselves for the slow and botched response to the pandemic. Yesterday, Mike Pence pointed his fingers at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and China. Why not? Anyone but them. Now, I gotta say kudos to John Roberts of Fox, who of all people, at yesterday's excuse for a coronavirus briefing, asked about the administration's decision not to reopen healthcare.gov to allow uninsured people to buy coverage, through the Affordable Care Act. Donald Trump chose not to answer the question and deferred to Pence, who filibustered. And at the end of it, Trump actually praised Mike Pence for not answering the question.
I think it's one of the greatest answers I've ever heard, because Mike was able to speak for 5 minutes and not even touch your question.
No,
I said that's what you call a great professional.
That's what you call a great professional? He's praising him for talking for 5 minutes without addressing the substance of the question. But that's the question that's at the heart of our biggest problem right now.
There will be people who don't have insurance who get sick before any of these mitigation efforts are put into place. And without opening the healthcare exchanges, where can they find insurance? People who aren't insured by these companies that are covering the cost of the copay, where can people go now to get health insurance if they get sick?
Good question.
Well, all across America, we have Medicaid for underprivileged Americans. And at the president's direction, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services has given unprecedented waivers for states to expand coverage.
He's not answering the question.
Coronavirus testing and treatment. We've also extended waivers for Medicare administration to make sure that people have access to that coverage. But we're going to continue to bring opportunities to the president.
Oh,
the
God.
Traditional
Shut
systems
up.
Of Medicaid in particular. For the uninsured in America.
Could you expand that to cover middle class people?
Hello.
I think what we're seeing health insurance companies do today, John, is really inspiring.
Shut up!
I mean,
if you're not going to answer the question, shut up!
One of the things that's characterized the president's approach here.
That's for people who already have insurance.
Go, John Roberts.
One of the things that has animated and characterized the president's approach is the way he's engaged American businesses.
All right, so you get the gist of it, right? Then, a little later in the briefing, Trump scolded that reporter, John Roberts, who works for Fox, for daring to bring up the fact that this administration closed the office and fired the U.S. pandemic response team 2 years ago, claiming that the story had been debunked and it was fake news. It has not, and it is not. This administration was wholly unprepared for this pandemic due to their own malfeasance, and we need to keep driving that fact home over and over and over again. And as if all of this isn't frightening enough, it's not just toilet paper people are rushing to buy. The FBI reported 3.7 million gun purchase background checks in the month of March alone. That's a 41% surge that indicates more and more people are trying to buy guns. Updated guidance from the federal government has designated firearm and ammunition retailers as essential services, which means that they can stay open despite a growing number of states issuing stay-at-home orders. This truly is opposite world. It makes no fucking sense at all. I didn't, you know, I put this music clip to the side in from when I recorded What's News, and I didn't pull it over to my my wall, but I'm gonna change that right now, because you know, more sad news. Look, with each passing day, we're learning, we're hearing the names of more people who have died or who have been tested positive for the coronavirus. You know, we heard about first it was Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, right? Then we heard Jackson Brown. We know that John Prine is on a respirator fighting for his life. We know that Chris Cuomo now is fighting it. We know, and now we're hearing of some who have died. The man, and I don't know his name, but the writer of Joan Jett's hit I Love Rock and Roll, he died from the coronavirus. And then last night I read this. The name Adam Schlesinger may not be a household name. And actually the band name Fountains of Wayne may not either, but boy, I played their music on the air in the 90s.
Stacey's mom has got it going on. She's all I want, and I've waited for so long. Stacey, can't you see? You're just not the girl for me. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacey's mom.
Yep. Adam Schlesinger, co-founder of Fountains of Wayne and an award-winning songwriter for the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, died yesterday of coronavirus complications. He was only 52. And then Ellis Marsalis Jr., New Orleans jazz pianist, teacher, and patriarch of a jazz dynasty, died yesterday at age 85. His sons, who include jazz greats Wynton and Branford Marsalis, said the cause of death was pneumonia brought on by the COVID-19 coronavirus. More and more with each passing day, we're going to hear of people that we know either directly or indirectly who've died, and others who are fighting this horrible disease. The more we hear about the symptoms, just horrible. And so, you know, this is serious shit, and you know, we're all in it together. And frankly, none of us knows how this is going to end. Except for some people, it's not going to end well. Unbelievable. All right. We're a little late, but better late than never, right? Let's get Howie Klein on the line. Whoops, it would help if I did this.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole.
How are you feeling these days?
Great.
Good. Glad to hear it. Look, anytime I hear someone's feeling great, that's a good thing. I was just, you know, I just ran through the news for the listeners and ended on the note of two pretty incredible musicians lost to the coronavirus. Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, 52 years old. You know, just it makes no sense. And then, you know, the 85-year-old patriarch of the Marsalis family, Ellis Marsalis, father of Wynton and Branford Marsalis, died from pneumonia brought on by the coronavirus.
Yeah, very tragic. Did John Prine die as well?
No, John Prine apparently is still on a ventilator in the hospital. His wife, Fiona, already recovered from it, and she's been posting updates, and she said he's stable, like he's doing a little better. So just if everyone, you know, whatever you do, I'm not a praying person. I think good thoughts, you know, and that's what I, but whatever you do, certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. Well, I'm a prayer.
Good.
Two or three weeks ago, I got a call from a very old and dear friend because we were arguing a little bit online. He writes for the New York Times. I can't really say his name.
Okay.
That's okay. And he wrote a thing for the Times. It's about a month ago, saying that everybody is overreacting. This isn't a big deal.
Oh God.
And you know, just calm down. It's going to pass, and it's, you know, there aren't going to be many people who die, and it's just overblown. And this is for his column, and he sent it to me to ask me what I thought, and I said, "This will end your career.
Uh-huh.
Do not publish this. You are 100% wrong. Don't do it." So he called today to apologize to me because,
wow,
like I said, we were arguing. And he just mentioned, and by the way, my wife and I have coronavirus.
Oh, my God.
I mean, very, very, very mild, you know, really, you know, just the mildest case for each of them. She has a little bit worse than him, but but they're both going to be fine.
Well, that's good. And it sounds like this virus runs the gamut. Some people have no symptoms at all, but they're carriers and they're contagious, which is what's so frightening about it. They're walking around. And the idiot governor of Georgia said publicly, "Well, I didn't even know this until 24 hours ago." Well, what the fuck has he been doing?
It may be true. He is an idiot. He doesn't read. And, you know, he listens to Fox all the time.
Yeah.
And if you don't read and you listen to Fox, you could think that.
I guess.
You know, and morons think that. I mean, anyone who was following this thing knew that people who were asymptomatic could be carriers. You know, maybe you knew it in January.
Yep.
Maybe you knew it in February. Maybe you knew it in March. But it takes someone really, really dumb to not have known it until April. And that is this guy, Brian Kemp, who is just the worst moron imaginable.
Absolutely.
Although, you know what? The Speaker of the House, a guy named Ralston, Speaker of the Georgia House, is just stupid. He just, you know, polling came out showing that the overwhelming majority of Americans, like, I don't know, 70%, something like that, I think it was 70% of Americans want the option, at least the option, of vote by mail. And this guy said today, you know, this is a disaster for Republicans and a disaster for conservatives. And the president said it right. If we have voting by mail, there'll be too many people voting and we'll lose everything. We'll never win again. Which is true. And that's why Republicans are trying to stop it now.
Well, of course. And this goes back decades. This is because Republicans, unlike Democrats, play the long game. Right.
This goes back centuries. Conservatives have never wanted people to be able to vote. They have always tried to keep it down, you know, only old white male property owners. And then, you know, slowly it chipped away. You know, they got rid of the white, they got rid of the male, they got rid of the property owners, you know, slowly. But it's still always a battle going back to the very beginning of this country.
Sure. And you know the famous quote from Paul Weyrich, right, from 1980? He said it where it was recorded, the good government syndrome, the goo-goo syndrome. And of course, it doesn't want to play now, where he says, we don't want everyone to vote.
How many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome? Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
And that was from 1980, and they've let it play out.
And was that at a Republican convention that
you
made that statement?
I believe it was. I believe it was in 1980. And they keep their eye on the prize. They work very hard to take away our voting rights and to keep as many people as possible from the polls, because they know the more people that vote, the better it is for the Democrats. The more people that vote, the worse it is for the Republicans. They don't want you to vote.
Let me just say one thing about that.
Okay.
The more people that vote, the worse it is for conservatives.
Ah, true. That's true.
So that, I mean, even Ralston, the guy from Georgia, recognized that, because conservative Democrats don't want people voting either. They, you know, they have a problem when people vote. I mean, that's how Marie Newman just defeated Lipinski.
Yep.
Now, Lipinski pretended to be a Democrat. He was a blue dog from Tennessee who no one knows for sure that he was really a Democrat. But, and he certainly didn't vote like one. But conservatives like that would, you know, they often side secretly and you know, under the radar with the Republicans to keep voting as low as possible. They do not want progressives voting. They do not want people of color voting. They would prefer if young people didn't vote. They would prefer if women didn't vote. I mean, it just goes all the way back. Conservatives don't want a big franchise. They want it as small as possible, as tight as possible. And yes, it's mostly Republicans. I'd say it's, you know, overwhelmingly Republicans. But there are conservative Democrats who fall right in line with that as well.
Right. Well, that's true. But so this is nothing new. The problem is, the problem for Democrats, I think, is Republicans play the long game. They set their sights on something and they work towards that goal. The Democrats don't seem to have goals. They just sort of play it by ear. Case in point, the 2020 elections. I'm sorry, I had a listener send me kind of a nasty note yesterday. I was about to send you a $25 monthly donation, but then you had to go to badmouth Biden. All I said was, I think Biden's a horrible candidate and will probably lose to Donald Trump, and that it's not too late for the Democrats to do something about it. And I even said, as much as I like Bernie Sanders and I think he's our best bet to fix the future, that he's been so damaged by our system, by the Democratic Party, by politics in this country, that he's probably not the right person, that they need to maybe go outside and come up with someone else who can take on Trump and win in November, because I don't think Joe Biden is it.
No, I don't think Joe Biden can win either. I'd be careful about wishing for someone else.
I know. I don't wish.
Could very well be someone worse than Joe Biden, or at least as bad as Joe Biden. So, you know, some in the establishment are hoping
for Andrew Cuomo.
And Cuomo's terrible. He's absolutely horrid. You know, most people outside of New York hardly even knew who he was until this last few weeks, when suddenly he's being compared to Trump. I mean, anyone that you compare to Trump comes off great.
Of course.
But you know, the real story with Cuomo, see, the media that goes along with the Democratic establishment, that kind of media, like the idiots at MSNBC, they all keep repeating how great he is and how heroic he is and he's the best, he's the best. Well, he's not. He's the opposite of the best, and you know what that is. When de Blasio tried to close down New York City, tried to shut it down, what stopped him? It was Cuomo.
That's right.
Cuomo didn't want it shut down. And Cuomo had pretty much the exact same reasons as Trump did. And eventually he did shut it down. Cuomo is a political coward, tends to be fiscally conservative, very fiscally conservative. And, you know, what something like this kind of a crisis, this pandemic, what it calls for is people with guts and people who are brave and weren't going to worry that their career might be hurt if they move too fast. What this called for was people who are willing to take that kind of risk and willing to move fast and willing to put their own career trajectory on the side. And that's the opposite of a guy like Andrew Cuomo. It's more like Andrew Cuomo's father, Mario Cuomo, who's no longer with us.
Yep.
But Andrew Cuomo is the one who a lot of the conservatives want. You know, I don't think that someone like Bloomberg might, you know, if he sees an opening, might try to jump back in.
Oh, God.
You know, in other words, if it's going to be a brokered convention and they're going to pick somebody, you know, he would say, hey, I'll give everybody $1 million. Pick me.
Yeah.
Literally, he could do that.
Yeah, he could.
But, you know, so let's watch out for that. And, you know, I don't agree about Bernie, by the way. I think that Bernie would wipe the floor with Trump. And yes, he's been damaged, and there'll be conservative Democrats that don't vote for him. But there are always a few Democrats who don't vote for the nominee. And
that's
there are
right.
always a few Republicans who don't vote for the nominee, and they balance each other off. So, you know, even if 10% of Democrats decide, you know, I can't vote for a socialist, I won't vote for Bernie, there'll be 10% or 11% or 9% of Republicans who say, you know, Trump is just, you know, too far for me to you know, it's a bridge too far. I'm not going for it.
I hear
so
you. I hear
worry
you.
About that. like let's hope it is Bernie. Let's hope it's Bernie versus Trump. Situation.
I'd still love to see Trump
versus Biden, and we're dead. We're just dead. The guy is like a corpse.
Right. I agree. Did you hear the clip? Oh my God. He's asked on this interview with someone on MSNBC the same softball question that Trump blew up at Peter Alexander from NBC about. What do you say to the people who are terrified right now? And Joe Biden came out with this word salad that if I were to transcribe it, there wasn't a complete sentence in there. The man cannot put 10 words together to make a cohesive sentence. It's frightening. And this is who they want to put up against a truly dangerous psychopath at the most important moment in our history. I mean, the whole fucking world is going down. It just makes no sense to me.
You get someone saying, you know, that he hates you and he's not going to send you $25
right.
because you're warning people about Biden.
Right. And then how dare I bring up this story with such a curious or shady time frame that somebody would come up now and accuse Biden of sexual assault. Well, the story is this woman has been trying to tell her story for quite some time now, and the avenues that have opened up since the start of the Me Too movement, from Time's Up to the Women's Law Center, none of them would help her. Everyone's silencing her. The corporate media won't listen to her story. So what, I'm not supposed to talk about it because if you ignore it, it'll go away?
And it turns out that there are multiple women
yes.
who have situations with Biden that were inappropriate and that show that he would not make a good president. And what are you supposed to do? Not talk about it until it's too late to do anything about it? And then Trump just talks about it?
Right.
I mean, you know, Trump's weaknesses are, but Biden has all of those same weaknesses. All the things that you
yes.
can go after Trump for, Biden can't go after Trump for them. I mean, you know, you want to talk about Trump's hideous family?
Yeah.
Well, Biden can't do that.
No.
Because Trump will be on the attack against Biden's hideous family.
That's right.
Liar? Trump's a big liar? He, sure he is. Trump lies all the time.
So does
guess
Biden.
Who else does?
Yep.
Biden.
Yep.
He's a notorious liar. So, you know, any of the weaknesses that would be good to go after Trump on, not any, but most of the weaknesses that would be good to go after Trump on, Biden has those same weaknesses.
Absolutely.
And this is just another one. You know, someone who molests women.
Horrible.
Trump.
Yes.
But Biden can't go after him because he's got the same thing.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something. Even if you could put all this aside, and I'm not saying you should, right now, at this moment in time, at this moment in history, Joe Biden was asked in that same interview, I believe, now that we're dealing with this coronavirus, are you rethinking your stance on Medicare for all? And he said, oh, no, that wouldn't solve this problem. Really? Really? So you have millions of people who are uninsured who probably, if they get deadly sick with the coronavirus, won't seek help because they can't pay for the care they need. It makes no sense.
Yep. Absolutely horrific. And that's, you know, that's Joe Biden. And it pains me that there are so many Democratic voters who are falling for this. It's just, you know, this is the media spin that they get right from their pals in the Democratic establishment. They just repeat it word for word, and it took off, and boom, we've got, you know, the corpse is back from the dead. He's still dead, but he's, you know, walking around now, and is going to be probably the Democratic nominee, and either will, you know, I don't even know what would be, I guess it would be worse for Trump to be reelected. But even if Biden wins, that's another nightmare.
Well, it is. I just would hope that if Biden wins, he would basically be put in as sort of a figurehead. So much
yes.
would depend on.
He'll pick a horrible candidate, a horrible cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the kind of people he has around him.
Yeah,
they're
his
not
campaign.
People.
No, his campaign sucks. The people he surrounded himself with are horrible.
Didn't they put forth a list of people that he was thinking of for things, and they were all terrible?
Oh, I didn't see that. I actually would like to, and I think that, and I said this a few weeks ago, I think both he and Bernie Sanders, because of their advanced age, should at this point tell us who they would choose as their running mate, because it's a really important consideration for both of them.
Yep.
So who?
Well, Bernie said when he started the campaign that he guaranteed that he would choose a woman. He guaranteed he would choose a woman who would have the same political views as he does.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's what he said.
Okay. As he should.
And then, you know, suddenly Biden realizes he's in trouble a couple of weeks ago, and he says, "Yeah, I'm going to pick a woman." You know, well,
yeah.
That sounds original.
Yeah.
But you know, who? And most of the women that he's talked about are very conservative women. And that's what I expect that they're looking for, is to find the most conservative Democratic woman that they can find. I mean, the worst one of all, the one that would just be like so horrendous that she would actually make Biden almost look decent, not quite, oh, I don't know, she's just as bad as him or worse, is Gina Raimondo. And
I don't even know who that
is. That one of the ones he's considering.
Who is
that? She's the governor of Rhode Island.
Oh.
She's a Wall Street person. She's crooked. She's so right-wing, it's shocking. If she wasn't in Rhode Island, she would be a conservative Republican instead of a conservative Democrat.
Wow.
But in Rhode Island, if you want to have a real political career, you have to be a Democrat. And it's just unbelievable to me that he would even like think of someone like her. I mean, she's literally the worst Democratic governor in the whole country.
Oh,
and
my God.
Leave it to Biden to find her.
Wow. Wow, and I'm thinking, you know, Amy Klobuchar or someone like that, which I also don't want. There's a reason she, you know, didn't make it through the primaries. Sorry. And yes, I'm afraid that that's what we'd wind up with. Although I think because of all that Jim Clyburn did for him, and frankly, all that, you know, black women did for him, that he's going to choose a black woman. And I think, based, and I know nothing, this is my mere speculation, but I think he's down between Kamala Harris and Stacey Abrams, and he probably doesn't like Kamala Harris calling him out in the debate on the whole busing question. So I think he's leaning towards Stacey Abrams. And by any chance, did you see Samantha Bee the other night? She did this whole suck up segment with Stacey Abrams. And this brings me back to the whole Andrew.
Okay. What did she say? What about Stacey Abrams?
Oh,
what did Samantha Bee say?
Samantha Bee did a segment with Stacey Abrams where we're talking about voting rights and how we need to make sure everyone can vote. And then Samantha Bee just led her into this thing. I think you need to be Joe Biden's running mate. And Stacey Abrams basically said, yeah, I've spoken to him. And you know what? I told him if he calls, of course, I'll step up. I'll be there for him. It was like a, you know, pick Stacey Abrams segment with flashing neon lights. It was pretty blatant and kind of eyebrow raising.
Right. Well, people who don't know Stacey Abrams and don't know, you know, what sort of a legislator she was would think that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think that I like Samantha Bee. I think she's really
so
funny
I.
And I like to watch her show.
Yep.
But she doesn't know anything about Stacey
no.
Abrams. Stacey Abrams, you know, first of all, what's his name? Clyburn said the other day he doesn't think it's going to be Stacey Abrams.
Oh, really?
He would probably know.
Yes, he would know.
And I think Biden would you know, I don't think he cares really what Kamala Harris said about him. He's just looking for someone who is going to help him to get elected. And my bet is that he would pick her before Stacey Abrams. But I never really kind of understood. I don't want to insult anybody here, but is she black?
Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Indian. I think one of her parents is from India, and the other one I think is African American. I could be, or Jamaican even.
Oh no, the other one's not African American. The one is from India or somewhere from that part
uh-huh.
of the world, and the other one I believe is like sort of a mixed race person from the Caribbean.
Oh, that's very you know, it's very possible. And no,
yeah,
okay. Nope, I'm looking.
Black.
I've just pulled her up.
She puts it on.
Yep, no,
you know,
her father.
You know, when she's talking to black people,
uh-huh.
she puts on a black accent.
Oh, yes, she does.
She doesn't have.
No, her father is black and her mother is Indian. I'm looking at pictures right now. So her father is definitely a black man.
Uh-huh.
And her mother is Indian.
Okay.
Yeah. Her father is Jamaican. That's what it is.
Okay. So, yep. So neither of them is an African-American.
Not African-American. Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. She is what she is. Her record is her record. And it's a pretty mediocre record. She got into the Senate and decided she's going to go all the way to be a liberal. But before that, she was never a liberal. I've had many opportunities to vote for her. I've passed on every one of them. I've never voted for her for any job she's ever gone for. I've never thought well of her. I don't hate her the way I hate Biden,
right.
But I don't like her.
Right. Exactly. No, and the thing is, what people, critics of her, and I haven't lived in California while she was in the Senate, but she was a prosecutor, and there are a lot of stories about her time as the attorney general of California, where she prosecuted a lot of people who maybe didn't deserve to be prosecuted to the extent they were.
So. And she didn't prosecute a lot of people who
should have been
prosecuted, namely Steve Mnuchin.
That's right,
Treasury Secretary, who then. Paid her off. I mean, if you look at Mnuchin's campaign contributions that year, it was 8,000 Republicans and one Democrat, her.
Right. But you know what? Here's the problem, Howie, and this goes back to, again, the conversation about the governors and Andrew Cuomo, is people who don't pay attention the way you and I do, the way the listeners to this program do to politics, hear one thing about a politician. They're introduced to Stacey Abrams, and on the surface, she's great. She's smart. She's got a resume. She seems like an amazing person. She's just not very progressive. But they glom on to one thing. Andrew Cuomo's doing a great job at these briefings, but when you dig into his record, you see he's been a pretty shitty governor, and he's pretty damn conservative. He's not progressive in any way. And in fact, today, his budget came out, and he's still pushing through cuts to Medicaid in New York State now in the midst of this pandemic. It makes no sense. But people glom on to one thing and say, Andrew Cuomo should be president. No, he
because
shouldn't.
The media just doesn't shut up
about
it.
That's right.
You know, if you don't pay attention, close attention, and you just get your information from the mass media, you have no reason to think that Andrew Cuomo is anything but the opposite of Trump.
Right.
Because that's all they say. But the people who are saying it don't know anything either. That's the funny part about it. They're depending on so-called reporters who are lazy,
yep,
and not particularly brilliant, and who just give them information that they're fed from their trusted sources in the establishment.
Exactly.
So that's why, Cuomo has good PR. And he's a very, very good politician, meaning he knows how to trick people.
Yep.
And he's a good actor on TV.
Yep. And his father was great.
Walking around saying this bum is a hero when he's certainly not. By the way, did you see that Politico magazine article about the six best governors and the six worst governors?
No.
It just came out. It was really good. And, the guy who wrote it is what's his name? Cher. He said...
Bill Cher. Okay.
Yeah.
I know Bill.
And he said, there's a lot of talk about Cuomo, but I'm not putting him in my list of the six best.
Good.
Because most bullshit. And he got that right. I mean, he got other things wrong, but he definitely got that right. He was right, and it was brave of him to say that the number one governor was a Republican, Mike DeWine. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mike DeWine was the best on this of anybody. And, who would think a Republican governor of Ohio would come out the best of anything? But he did. And Cher said that. Now, but then he said Gavin Newsom is the second best.
Oy, no.
And that's not either. If you look at the numbers, California has fairly good numbers right now, but that isn't because of Newsom. That's because
Jerry
of the
Brown.
Six Bay Area counties said, hey, fuck you, we're doing what we want to do, and they closed their counties down.
Right.
And Newsom sat there. Now he's getting the credit for the fact that these six counties, which include three of the biggest cities in the state, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland, because they have such low rates, California looks pretty good. But you take those six out, and California doesn't look as good. So that's, Newsom, is he terrible on this? No.
No,
he's not terrible on it, but he's not great on it. He shouldn't be number two, that's for sure.
No.
But he got it right when it came to the worst. I mean, there are so many that are so bad. But
mine.
You know, who do you think was the worst?
Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Yes, indeed.
Well, deservedly so.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, and you know, you could pretty much figure out, you know, the governor of Mississippi, the governor of Alabama. You know, these are all like just so terrible. Now, for some reason, I don't know what the reason was. He left off. Was this Scott Kemp? I mean, Brian Kemp from Georgia. I don't know.
He needs to be on there.
But he belonged on that list too.
Without a doubt.
They're all, you know, just a bunch of bums who basically are just echoing Trump and don't want to step away from Trump. And you know, they put their states in great danger. You know, now they're all going to come on and shut their states down. But it's too late. They don't get that. They don't understand. It's too late. It was look how late Cuomo was. And he was weeks and weeks before them.
That's right.
So they're not looking and realizing that they're going to be worse off than New Yorkers in some of their states.
Yeah, I'm dreading the next 2 weeks. I mean, none of us knows what to expect. We're hearing all the warnings. Of course, you know, so much of Fox Nation still is poo-pooing it all. You know what? If karma had any fairness to it, those people would be the ones to come down with the virus first. You know, we're not venturing out of this house, I'll tell you that much. Scary times we're living in, Howie Klein. So you're staying home, I'm guessing. You're staying healthy. You're doing your thing, just sticking close to home.
But I suit up when I do, so I'm very well protected. But I'm enjoying this because cooking is a meditation for me, and I had stopped doing it and hadn't done it in decades, and now I'm just enjoying it so much. I'm like loving it.
Okay.
I'm right in the middle of this this amazing root vegetable stew with a miso sauce that's going to be. I'm like drooling just thinking about it.
Oh, yum! All right, you should put out a little like a cookbook blog. I've been having fun with, you know, creative homemade humor videos that I'm finding from people all over the world who are doing song parodies dealing with the coronavirus and sharing those. You should put together a recipe little blog or something.
Quite a few people have asked me to, because they hear me talking about it on your show and another show that I do.
Uh-huh.
So I probably won't do it, but... Because the recipe, you know, I worked in a restaurant for 4 years in Amsterdam, and I cook by feel, not by, I don't have a cookbook that I use. You know, sometimes I'll look at a cookbook to get, you know, kind of general ideas, but never any specific ideas. Like, in other words, I might think, well, what spices go best with jackfruit? So I might find that, to get a hint about it. But when it comes to these things, it's all by feel. I couldn't tell somebody how much of this to put in and how much of that to put in. It would never work.
A pinch, a dash. You know,
exactly.
That's how I do it anyway. All right. Howie Klein, well, I'm glad you're keeping occupied and being creative, because that's what we must do. I'm working on some stuff too. When I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Great. By the way, here's a tip for our listeners.
Yes.
So last week I thought, you know, my latex gloves are sort of, they're kind of worn out, and I better get some new ones.
Yeah.
And I went online and I ordered 200 latex gloves, you know, really inexpensively on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I got two boxes. They came within, I don't know, a week to 10 days. So anyone who doesn't have gloves, that's, you can do it. Don't say you can't find them. You can.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind. We've got gloves. We've even got a few masks. So we're set. Not that we go anywhere, but we're hunkered down, as you should be too. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, and of course, the Blue America Pack. And Howie, I will talk to you next week.
Take care. Good
you
to talk
too.
To you.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. All right. And you too. Stay safe. Hunker down. Be creative. Let me know what you're doing to pass the time and be creative. I'm not sure what we're going to do tomorrow. We'll figure something out. Hopefully my sound will work and we won't have a delay again tomorrow. Anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't go out. And have fun. Sure. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.